Thank you for a nice introduction. So my title is Molecular Epidemiological Characterization of Uropathogenic E. coli from an Outpatient Urology Clinic in Nagano, Japan. So I have no relationships to disclose. Okay. To give you a background as to why we're focusing on urinary tract infections, it's a global public health problem for the following reasons. First, there are more than 100 million cases that occur globally in a given year. Second, it's the most common bacterial infection in women. And three, there has been a growing prevalence of drug-resistant urinary tract infections worldwide, which is complicated treatment. So the main causative agent of urinary tract infection is Escherichia coli. And there are multi-drug-resistant, also known as MDR, E. coli strains that has been recognized worldwide. And not only are these strains multi-drug resistant, they also make up a clonal group that are genetically related. And there's been reports of community outbreaks of multi-drug resistant E. coli clonal strains being reported worldwide. So to give you two examples of such strains that are recognized internationally as multi-drug resistant clones are the two following. First is called clonal group A, also known as sequence type 69 or ST69. And the second one is called O25H4 sequence type 131 or ST131. And these strains are multi-drug resistant. They're commonly resistant to drugs that are commonly used to treat urinary tract infections, for example, trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole, cephalosporins, and fluoroquinolones. So our objectives were the following. First, we wanted to determine the drug-resistant rates of E. coli causing urinary tract infection in a small town's outpatient clinic in Japan. Second, we wanted to characterize the clonal composition of isolated E. coli. And finally, we wanted to determine if recognized international E. coli multi-drug resistant clones such as ST69 and ST131 are causing urinary tract infection in this community. So our study site, so I went to Japan, Nagano Prefecture, which is a house right in the middle of the main island of Honshu, where it's noted by the red star. And within that prefecture, we went to a city called Saku. And within that, we went to a remote town in a community which was mainly agricultural. And within that community, we went to a private outpatient clinic that was serving this community. And what's special about this clinic is that it is the only outpatient urology clinic in this city. So they receive a lot of referrals from various medical facilities around the area. So the study design, the study was conducted from October 2008 to September 2009. So during this period, patients with urinary tract infections provided midstream urine samples. And those midstream urine samples were checked for pyorrhea, which is defined as having more than 5 white blood cells under a high power field in a microscope. And once that was determined, patients were officially enrolled into the study and questionnaires were provided. And once the questionnaires were completed, we looked at the questionnaire to determine whether the patient had an uncomplicated UTI or a complicated UTI. So let me define complicated UTI for you. So patients that are male fall into this category, and patients that have urinary abnormality, diabetes, or history of any urinary catheter use, and diabetes and other medical conditions that require healthcare assistance were classified as complicated UTI. So going back to the urine samples that were positive for pyorrhea, they were sent for bacterial isolation. And the results were divided into whether they were isolating E. coli and those that were isolating other pathogens. And the isolated E. coli were then ran through two laboratory studies. The first one was the drug susceptibility test. And there were about six antimicrobial agents tested. And multi-drug resistant was defined if the isolate was resistant to two or more classes of the antimicrobial agents. And once that was done, the E. coli strains, we typed them genetically by this method called multi-locus sequence typing, also known as MLST. And in this process, seven housekeeping genes were sequenced. And based on the seven gene profile, each isolate was given an ST number or sequence type number. So moving on to results. So during this period, 199 patients were enrolled, and of that 199, 129 patients were completed a questionnaire. So here's a summary table describing some of the significant findings. So on the left-hand side, you see the various patient characteristics, and the patient characteristics were compared between the uncomplicated and complicated cases of UTI. So to highlight some of the significant findings, the mean age was younger for the patients that were in the uncomplicated cases of UTI at age 42. And patients that had diarrhea in the past 3 months prior to this current case of UTI had an increased odds of having an uncomplicated UTI. So the patient characteristics that showed higher odds in complicated UTI cases were those that were older than age 65 and those that had a history of a hospitalization in the past year. So these people had the increased odds of having a complicated case of UTI. So moving on to the isolates, so 199 urine samples were checked for bacteria, and of that, 50% of them were E. coli. And it was followed then by Enterococcus faecalis at 14%, and the rest are denoted there. And of the 199 samples, 21% did not result in any pathogen isolation. So here's a graph summarizing the resistant rates from the highest resistant rates from the left and down onto the right. So the highest resistant rate for the 80 isolates of E. coli was for trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole at 8%. And following that, the resistant rate for levofloxacin was at 6%. And the cephalosporins were under 5%. And on the very far right, there's a percentage of multi-drug resistant isolates, which was at 6%. So then, once we got this data, we compared the drug-resistant profile to the type of urinary tract infection, whether it was complicated or uncomplicated. So here are the results. So on the left, you see the list of the drugs that the isolates were resistant to. And we compared it between the uncomplicated, complicated cases. And we see here that the antibiotic-resistant isolates were clustered into the uncomplicated cases of UTI. However, the multi-drug resistant isolates were present in both groups. So moving on to the genetic typing results. So this was done again by multi-locus strain typing. So out of the 80 isolates grouped into 15 distinct clonal complexes. And clonal complexes are defined as those isolates that share more than 5 out of the 7 housekeeping genes that were sequenced. So 5 clonal complexes were actually predominant. They accounted for 50% of all the clonal complexes identified. And here on this pie chart, I depict the distribution. So clonal complex 95 accounted for 25% of all the isolates. And clonal complex 131 accounted for the next biggest group, which was at 8.8%. And so this clonal complex 131 includes the strain type 131 that I mentioned earlier as the one sharing the genetic makeup of the multi-drug resistant international clone. And the next prevalent one was clonal complex 357, followed by clonal complex 73 and clonal complex 69, which includes ST69, which again was the one that had was recognized as one of the major international multi-drug resistant clones. And out of the 80 isolates, 75% each individually had a strain type. It did not fall into a clonal complex group. So now we try to compare the clonal complex profile to the drug resistant profile. And here's a summary table. So on the top across, I depicted the clonal complexes that had some type of antibiotic resistance. And on the left, I show the drugs that the clonal complex isolates were resistant to. So this table shows that there is a widespread of the resistant isolates among the different clonal complexes. So there was no association between a specific clonal complex with a specific resistant type. So we could make the following conclusions. Number one, the highest prevalence rate was for trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole, a drug not commonly used to treat urinary tract infections in Japan. So why is this the case? So probably overuse of antibiotics in humans is unlikely reason for this phenomenon because it's not used in Japan. So we will have to consider other areas in which this drug is used predominantly. So trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole is commonly used in animal husbandry. So we think that it may be that in this population, these isolates are being selected and being maintained, and then subsequently transferred to the human population. So conclusion number two. So among patients with no spatial or temporal relationship, 25% of them shared a genotypically identical clone of clonal strain 95. So how can we explain this? Well, it's probably not person-to-person transmission because all these patients came from various parts of the community. So it may suggest that there was a common exposure to a common source, such as water or food. And in fact, strain type 95 is found to commonly cause colibacillosis in poultry. So the final conclusion. So we did identify the international multi-drug resistant clones by their strain type, sequence type ST. Those were ST131 and ST69. But interestingly, these were not multi-drug resistant. So maybe for the following reasons, this may be true. First, these multi-drug resistant clones that are recognized internationally probably have not reached this community yet. Or it could be potentially representing a pool of progenitors that could become drug-resistant strains under high selection pressure. So we propose this new hypothesis to explain why only specific strains of E. coli are recognized as multi-drug resistant worldwide. So we think that maybe there is a population of susceptible clones in a community, and specific clones are overly represented. For example, in this example, clone A is shown to be prevalent, and then followed by clone C and B, clone B, then D and E. So, and D and E are underrepresented. So if these E. coli that are susceptible are subject to selection pressure from high antibiotic use over time, just by pure chance, those that are predominant in the susceptible population will become drug resistant and be recognized. So we think these are the strains that are actually being reported in the literature and recognized as multi-drug resistant clones. So we suspect that these MDR clones are subsets of those that were originally susceptible and became drug resistant over time. So there's couple questions to address. So we don't know why that only limited number of E. coli clones cause urinary tract infection. So is it something biological? Meaning do specific strains of E. coli possess specific biological properties that make it more likely to infect the human host? Or is it, on the other hand, is it a human host factor? Are certain patients more likely to be infected by a specific clone? And finally, is it something epidemiological, meaning is it spreading via a common source, such as water or food? So I'm going to end this presentation with these questions in mind. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Question was, are we considering further research in looking into water sources and food sources? So water we haven't done yet, but food definitely. We have been trying to isolate E. coli that share the similar genetic makeup, strains that are isolated from the animal population and human population. And there are a lot of research that suggests that E. coli that are isolated from poultry are very similar to the ones that are isolated from humans. So it will be interesting to see if we conduct more research to check on water to see if we could isolate such isolates. But that's on the way. But food is right now is the focus. Thank you. Sure, might be protected. Oh, so the patients that had diarrhea in the past 3 months were more likely to have uncomplicated, more acute cases of UTI. So there was no point to the, it's a preventative factor. But UTI in general are the route for these E. coli to enter the sterile urinary tract infection is the host fecal route. So fecal to the sterile site of UTI. So it's not, it's one of the common routes in which female get infected. So I didn't suggest any preventative factor for diarrhea.
I'm going to take a moderator's prerogative and ask you a question. Betsy Foxman at University of Michigan has done a lot of work in molecular epidemiology of E. coli and put a plug in. She used to be chair of the EPI section, so appropriate to mention her here. And she actually postulates that there may be some level of sexual
yes.
Certain E. coli clones. So I was interested why you sort of dismissed the possibility of person-to-person transmission, given that they have seen some of that here.
Right. So it's sexually transmission is one route in which patients could be infected with E. coli, but it's very difficult to consider that as the sole reason when people from varying areas from the community present with this identical clone. If it was an STI, then one male would have to have infected all these women that come into the same clinic. We found that to be very unlikely.
Or it could be, you know, several men that have it, like goes from a man to a woman to another man. You know.
Sure.
And it's the women who get the illness with it. So like chlamydia, the women are the ones who tend to present with the illness.
But it's interesting because that came up in the initial study that was conducted in UC Berkeley when they looked at three college campuses, one from Berkeley, one from Michigan, one from Minnesota. And these women isolated had this urinary tract infection caused by this specific genetically related clone. And that's hard to explain by person-to-person transmission because it's geographically spread out.